A new nonpartisan education advocacy group, Strong American Schools, recently began an ad campaign to prompt the presidential candidates and you to make education a top priority this election year. This first ad shows a boy raising flags on a flagpole. The flags represent the countries that are outperforming U.S. schools. Flags from Finland, Japan, Canada, South Korea, and France.
This boy's future isn't looking so good. The schools in every one of these countries are outperforming ours. America is now 21st in science, 25th in math. The countries with the best schools attract the best jobs. And if jobs move to countries like Finland and South Korea, our children's opportunities dry up, and so does our economy. America is only as strong as her schools.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Tuesday, July the 29th. And we will talk with two guests from the group Strong American Schools and welcome your calls on what you want to see from the presidential candidates this year when it comes to education issues. Elizabeth Snyder is a spokesperson for Strong American Schools. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Adam Tebow also is with us, policy director for Strong American Schools. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
First, Elizabeth, can you just tell us about Strong American Schools? Is the group advocating for one candidate over the other?
Strong American Schools is a nonpartisan campaign, so therefore we do not advocate for one candidate over the other. And we also don't take any positions on a particular legislation. However, we are advocating for three common sense priorities to fix education. That would be putting effective teachers in every classroom, increasing the time and support for student learning, and also creating rigorous standards that are benchmarked against the best nations in the world.
Yeah.
So although we aren't advocating for a particular candidate, we are advocating for three particular policy standards that Adam can probably explain better to kind of get both candidates on board and agree that those priorities are important to moving our education system forward.
Adam, why don't you start with the last one? I had a little bit of a hard time hearing it with a little bit of static on Elizabeth's phone, but I heard effective teachers, the time and support for the students, and what?
High and rigorous standards, benchmarked against the best in the world. Right now, we have a system in which all 50 states have different academic standards. So, Algebra 1 in Massachusetts is not necessarily the same Algebra 1 in Mississippi. And so, as the ad highlights, we're falling behind the rest of the world in our student achievement. And one way to increase our achievement is to expect the same things out of every student across the country, regardless of where they are. The quality of their school is not determined by geography.
Yeah. Well, what would change that? Some sort of federal standards, right?
It doesn't necessarily have to be imposed by the federal government. There are state-led efforts going on already through the American Diploma Project, and so we're pushing for a state-led effort in which 50 states get together and say how good is good enough and figure out what students need to learn by the end of 8th grade, what students need to learn by the end of 10th grade, and what students need to learn by the time they graduate.
So why was this ad campaign conceived, Elizabeth?
Well, we started the ad campaign because although we are trying to get the presidential candidates to talk about these issues, we also really feel like the most important thing is informing the public about one, that our nation's schools are falling behind the rest of the world's schools, and two, because we want to rally support for this issue and ask every individual out there to ask their leaders and the next president of America to fix our nation's schools. We need to, one, inform them that there is a problem out there and that this is something that needs to be addressed, and two, we want to kind of galvanize support for this issue and get the public to rally around it.
Yeah, and why? I mean, I guess it's obvious, but Adam, why is this such a problem that that other countries are outperforming U.S. students?
Well, I mean, it's a problem. We want every country to perform well and for them to, you know, provide their children with the opportunities that America has historically provided its children. But we also, you know, want it tied to the economy. We want to make sure that improving our schools will lead to the future successes and opportunities of our children. And also, you know, we want to make sure that America is continually to be one of the leading countries that provides opportunity and freedom for people all over the world to come here and get the best opportunities available.
Yeah. Adam, any thoughts on whether the presidential candidates are making education any priority in this election year?
They are making a priority. Both Senators Obama and McCain have given major education speeches within the last month. Obama has spoken about it more often in terms of talking about sort of putting effective teachers in every classroom. But we work with both the campaigns, and I know that it's important to Senator McCain and it's important to Senator Obama. It's just a matter of sort of getting past the horse race and back into real issues.
We are talking about a new ad campaign launched by the nonpartisan group Strong American Schools that seeks to make education a priority in the presidential campaign. And we wonder whether you think improving the performance of U.S. school students should be a top priority of the candidates, whether it's a top priority of yours, and what you want your elected leaders, your president, to do about education. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 29th. Coming up after 6:30, the math myth. A UW-Madison researcher tells us that girls perform as well as boys in math, except for me. And we'll talk about why that matters coming up after 6:30. Right now, we're talking with two guests from the group Strong American Schools, Elizabeth Snyder and Adam Thibault. And we welcome your questions and your thoughts on whether education is a priority in this election year. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you want to see from the presidential candidates this year when it comes to education issues? The group Strong American Schools has recently launched an ad campaign to make education a top priority, both for the presidential candidates and for voters like you and me. The ads will be played in key battleground states, including Wisconsin. I'm not sure if the ads are already playing in Wisconsin. Are they, Elizabeth?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. And so far, what kind of reaction have you gotten?
We've actually gotten a great reaction. I think people are really responding to the ads, and it's something that, one, they're very concerned about, and two, I think it's something that people want to hear more about.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering what it is the president actually can do to improve American schools, Adam Thibault.
The president is in a unique position to influence legislation. Typically, the first 100 days of a White House is a very intense legislative time in which the president controls the agenda. And so he can use the bully pulpit to inspire people. We often talk about the Sputnik moment in which the president challenged Americans to win the race to the moon. And because of that, there was a great sort of emotional investment in math and science. And so we think the president can lead a similar effort in reforming our public schools.
Yeah. Now, your group, again, nonpartisan, but I'm wondering if, perhaps you, instead of taking a stand, do you have a stand on No Child Left Behind? Is that helping to improve the performance of U.S. school students?
Well, as Elizabeth told you earlier, we don't comment on legislation because of our tax status, but I can tell you that we support the standards and accountability movement that No Child Left Behind helped usher in, that we now have a better sense of where every student is in terms of academic progress. But, you know, we expect a law to be tweaked in the coming reauthorization.
Yeah. Can you talk about the, just to help us understand where the candidates stand on No Child Left Behind?
Both the candidates would probably say something similar to what I just said, that they support standards and accountability, but believe that the legislation needs to be reformed.
Yeah. What sorts of reforms would be worth looking at for No Child Left Behind?
A lot of reforms are being discussed around teacher compensation, and that is in the current pay scale, teachers are awarded only upon seniority and education level, and a lot of congressmen believe that teachers should be paid according to their performance, according to how difficult their job is, how difficult the school is they're teaching in, and how much their students are able to grow. So there's a lot of talk about radically changing teacher compensation packages.
Yeah. Well, let's take a call from Seth in Milwaukee. Hi, Seth. You're on the air. Seth, are you there? I guess not. Well, that's too bad. Well, you know what? Seth did, I think he wants to talk about college level of performance. Are you only concerned with the elementary and secondary school performance, Elizabeth?
No, I mean, well, our campaign is focused on improving K-12 education, but that's also very tied to college performance. Right now, you know, we're having a lot of problems where kids are getting to college and they're not prepared to do the level of college work, so they end up spending a lot of time and money on remediation classes, and that extends the amount of time that they're in school and increases the amount of spending that they have to do to get through school, and it also decreases the likelihood of them graduating from college on time. So, I mean, although we focus specifically on K through 12, I mean, it's all tied together.
Yeah. What about things to reduce dropout rate? That seems to be a problem, especially here in Wisconsin in the Milwaukee public schools. But it's all over. But is there anything that that you'd like to see from the president in terms of things to stop kids from dropping out of school, Adam?
Dropouts are a terrible problem right now in our country. We're losing 1.2 million students per year are dropping out or not graduating with their peers. And so research has shown that one of the best techniques is early intervention, and that is identifying who those kids are and addressing their needs and allowing them to spend more time to develop the skills. Many kids drop out because they're behind grade level and are embarrassed by their lack of skills. So one of the priorities that we're pushing for is extended learning time, and that is a redesign of the school day so that kids that are struggling would have not only more time for the sort of reading and math skills that they might be lacking, but also the enrichment courses that are being crowded out of the curriculum right now, the art and the music and the gym that might help them find a more meaningful relationship in school.
Yeah. And how dire is it right now when it comes to U.S. school performance, Adam?
It's getting pretty bad. I mean, as the ad points out of 30 industrialized nations, our 15-year-olds were 21st in science and 25th in math. And that's not how most Americans, I think, would perceive the quality of our education. But our education system has basically remained stagnant while other countries in Europe and Southeast Asia have raced past us. So it's time to make it a priority and to act on it.
Yeah. I mean, in those other countries that have raced past us, is it because they have a more effective teacher? Is it because they give their students more more time in the classroom? They have more rigorous standards. Those three things are why those schools have raced past us.
That's a big part of it. I mean, obviously, their education, like most things, is a multifaceted, nuanced industry. But those are three that we've identified. Clearly, if you look at sort of the data that's been analyzed by the OECD, who runs this PISA exam that I was referencing, they look at sort of best practices within these countries, and they have pointed to the effectiveness of teachers as the single greatest determinant of student achievement. But if you put a quality teacher at every classroom, your kids will grow and learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have another caller, Angela in Richland Center. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Yes, what do you
think?
How are you? I'm fine. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm wondering if by extending the school year and having children be in school more of the year, cutting the summer break down, if they feel that that would help educate the kids, they would lose less over the summer and give them more time to learn in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of our policies, is extending the school day or extending the school year. As you alluded to, there's an incredible learning loss over the summer. And, you know, I taught for 9 years, and I know that you spend most of September and October reteaching the skills that were lost over the summer. So,
how do the candidates feel about that? I mean, nobody ever talks about it. It's like this taboo thing, can't get rid of summer break.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, those of us that have been in education know that people are very entrenched to their beliefs. Obama has talked about summer learning institutes that would primarily be targeted towards low-income students, but we're trying to argue that the students from all demographics could benefit from this.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, John McCain recently was talking about school choice issues. It might have been in association with the trip to Wisconsin, as we do have a school choice program in the Milwaukee area. And this is this isn't public school choice. It's it's private school choice, where, you know, parents will get vouchers to send their children to the school of their choice, including a parochial school. Is that type of a program something that your group would say might help?
No, we advocate only for public school choice. We believe that voucher programs, I know that Milwaukee has one of the nation's first voucher programs, one of the largest, but we believe that that's a diversion of funds that should be spent in public education. We support charters and dual enrollment programs and sort of intra-district transfers that are part of No Child Left Behind, so that parents are empowered with a choice to get their kids the best public education. But we don't support private voucher programs.
Yeah. Doesn't this all come down to spending more money on education?
It doesn't. I mean, actually, research has shown that that throwing money at the problem does not work. D.C. Public Schools, where I live, spends almost $15,000 per year per pupil, and it has the worst student achievement scores in the country. So there really is not a strong correlation between money and achievement.
Yeah. Well, is there a strong correlation between poverty and achievement?
There is, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Poverty is something that we need to do our best to eradicate. And, you know, there's a host of other issues having to do with child health and stability in the home. But what we look at it is that the public education system is responsible for these kids from 8 to 2:30 every day. So what can we do to improve those hours for that child?
Well, we are out of time. We want to thank you both for your time this morning, and good luck with your campaign.
Okay, thanks for having us.
Yeah, Elizabeth Snyder, spokesperson for Strong American Schools, and Adam Tebow, policy director for Strong American Schools. We're going to talk about another education matter coming up after the news, after 6:30. We'll talk with a UW-Madison researcher who has discovered that girls do perform as well as boys in math, despite popular belief.